This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Good evening, my name is Sue and you're listening to Hear Me Roar. Co-hosting with me tonight is Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
Hello, Lisa.
How are you, Susan?
Do you like this moist weather?
Well, I didn't like it getting the tram in this afternoon. I got wet.
Got a bit wet, didn't you, darling?
I forgot my brolly. Isn't that ridiculous?
You always forget your brolly.
Well, I don't like them.
You've got about six.
I know. They're all in the back of my car, which is pretty useless, really.
Yeah, considering you're catching the tram. Now, we're going to do our normal chat. We'll talk about what's going on in our world and have a look at that and avoid the subject of gay marriage because Lisa has told me she will basically throw
I'm going
up.
To throw something at you. No, not that I don't think it's an important issue.
It is. It is very important.
It is very important, but I'm kind of a little bit over it.
Yeah, you're over talking about it.
Yeah.
So we won't talk about that. See, we've done that now.
Thank you.
We've bridged that gap. Later on this hour, we're going to be talking to Stephanie Simpson. She's responsible for implementing and coordinating Charcoal Lane's holistic training and employment programs.
That sounds really good. That's to do with the Indigenous
disadvantaged youth. Yeah. That's absolutely right. Charcoal Lane, it's a Mission Australian initiative and it's a restaurant.
Right.
And I guess people would, know 15,
yes.
Jamie Oliver 15. I guess this is probably along the same lines, or we'll find out whether it is along the same lines.
Mm.
So I'm looking forward to that. Considering on Allegro Sunday, Lisa, we sat in for the big chair, shall we say.
We did.
For Adam.
We sat in for Adam's. Big shoes to fill.
His big throne. And I was going to say Queen, but I wasn't.
No.
He'd kill me. Oh, probably not. And, we did Indigenous rights, and that was really interesting.
So. It was very, very, very informative, actually.
Yeah. So lots happening on Hear Me Roar tonight. Hope you stick around. And,
Okay.
Back soon. Good evening. My name is Sue and you're listening to Hear Me Roar. I'm co-hosting tonight with Lisa. Lisa, what's going on?
Well, apparently monogamy is not the be-all and end-all for successful relationships, especially for gay men. A new study has found, apparently the Victorian University researcher Dr. Warwick Hoskins told Sydney Star Observer that the survey of 229 gay men aged between 18 and 70 in relationships across Australia indicates that basically the rules of monogamy doesn't apply. That's interesting for gay men.
It is, isn't it? I guess they're looking at whether what's right or wrong, or whether monogamy is the right thing. But I don't know. I don't know any, or I don't know very many monogamy orientated gay dudes. Do you?
What, do you think that they do swap a bit or?
Well, I think there's a lot more flexibility in their relationships, and not necessarily that they're open relationships, but they may have occasional flings, which, you know, they're very rule driven and, you know, these are the situations and so forth.
I think if there's an agreement up front in a relationship, I think that's okay.
I think
we're all adults, and if that's something you agree on going into a relationship, then all the power to them.
Absolutely, because more than 73% of the men surveyed said that their relationship agreement had been reached through discussion. And although studies showed monogamous relationships were more likely to have unspoken rules.
Oh, okay.
So I guess, and that's why I guess a lot of people falter is because, it's like rules, but it hasn't really been said.
It's like that, I wouldn't like some people I know that a lot interested in open relationships, but when it comes to the crunch,
no.
I don't think it would happen. And I don't know. I'm probably stereotyping here, but I don't think lesbians would go too well with it. To be quite honest, we're very protective of our girls.
Overly protective of the many I'm meeting recently. Scary.
Really? Scary.
Yeah, scary. And I like when they say that it's the rules of a relationship, not the type of the relationship that determines the success.
Oh, okay.
So basically, if you can communicate your rules and so forth, then that will increase longevity of a relationship.
Oh, I'm hopeless with communication. I'd be hopeless.
Whatever.
Whatever.
What's happening with the gay retirement village?
Well, apparently there's further delays on the floor plans for the Australia's first GLBTI retirement village. And basically they're waiting before they can start by the end of the year. And there's been quite a lot of interest in this retirement home. I think about 155 applications so far.
Yeah.
And it's actually located outside Melbourne in Balland. Do you know where that is?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So it's apparently a $26 million Linton Estate project. And I think it's got something like 120 yep. units, but at the moment it's just been put on hold because they're finalising the floor plans. So,
Look, all this stuff, all this paperwork, the red tape takes ages. They're going through the Moorabool Shire Council, and there have been changes in the floor plans. And I was having a bit of a laugh because, you know, I'm just left of centre, and I was thinking maybe they're putting in themed rooms. you could have your Hawaiian retirement room.
Well, that's true. Or your leather room.
Oh, my God, yes.
Would they have...
You could have your leather room, your subservient room.
Your Dykes on Bike.
Dykes on Bike. That's a hall, okay?
Oh.
We're not going to do a room.
Can you imagine? Maybe they've got souped up... what are they called? The gophers.
Yeah, oh, my.
Instead of the Harleys.
Yes.
Vroom, vroom. move over, Mavis. I don't know.
What do you think? 0427 Joy 949. What themed room would you come up with for the retirement village? Oh, I like that. I'm liking that a lot.
Definitely.
Lisa, now let's just move on to Brooklyn, where two teachers were caught with their tops off and their pants down.
Oh, absolutely. In America, obviously.
Of
only
course.
In America. Two teachers were caught having a little bit of hanky panky, apparently. Ooh-hoo. In the where were they?
The rubber room.
They put in the rubber room. No,
oh.
Yeah, no, they were caught in a romantic embrace while the students were having a bit of a show in their auditorium.
Yes.
And and apparently, yes, they were caught by the janitor in a romantic embrace.
Oh, how lovely. Now, these are romance language teachers, so maybe they were just getting into their prose.
So they went on with students. So let's just make that clear. They were
29 and 33.
So both Cindy and Alini.
Oh, bless you.
Bless. But now they've been reprimanded.
So they got that sent to the rubber room. Now, I don't know.
I did investigate what the rubber room was.
What is it?
It's like being on leave with pay, but you just sit in this room and you do nothing else because they've been basically removed from teaching.
I had a whole different vision of what the rubber room was.
Well, I know you could get up to all sorts of things in the rubber room.
Yeah, very like red latex rubbery kind of things. And says, the teachers were popular and obviously they just got a bit... You know, hanky panky, and they got caught, the poor babies.
Oh, I know.
Oh, it's a bit of
maybe
a shame,
they're talking
really.
French. That's all very sexy.
But I tell you what, I hope they had a great time in the rubber room, because anybody that gets to go to the rubber room is good in my book. And the latest news is the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. Brian Murray, the Switchboard co-president, has been awarded the Community Wellbeing Award, which was received at the annual Rainbow Awards in Hobart last Saturday night, which is absolutely fantastic. And we had them on the show last night, which is really, really good. If you would like to text in, you can text us on 0427 Joy 949. Come up with those. What themed room would you have in a retirement village? We're coming up with Stephanie Simpson from Charcoal.
Great.
Just a few minutes. Good evening. This is Hear Me Roar with Sue and Lisa. We'll just follow up from our text. We were talking prior to the song about the retirement village, and it has been a little delayed, and I'm assuming it's because they're putting in themed rooms, Lisa.
Well, yes.
And we thought that maybe there was a Dykes on Barks Hall because they wouldn't just have a room.
No,
it wouldn't
of course
be big
not.
Enough, really.
No.
Then we'd have the subordinate room and the
leather room
and so on. And a lovely Tom from Kingsbury has emailed in saying the old grumpy, rumpy, pumpy room. Which I love.
Thanks, Tom.
And the other one, the old cranky, spanky room.
Ooh.
And I love it. And a big shout out to the lovely Ty. Ty, we haven't seen you for ages.
No.
You got to come in. Now, in the studio today is Stephanie Simpson. Now, she is the program coordinator for Charcoal Lane. She's responsible for implementing and coordinating Charcoal Lane's holistic training and employment program. It's enticing. I'm liking it. Shall I start you just there? What is a holistic training and employment program?
Okay, holistic.
I know.
I think I actually wrote that myself, did I?
You did.
what our program actually is all about is about providing the support required to get involved in some employment and training when you have a few sort of barriers in the way before sort of being able to be comfortable in mainstream employment. So holistic sort of refers to the fact that we're not actually dealing with just employment and education, but also all of your social sort of background, your family relations, any sort of other issues that might be there as a barrier before sort of being able to be employed and work within mainstream employment.
Because employment just doesn't come to be. And obviously kids, this the program we're about to talk about, it's for Aboriginal disadvantaged youth generally.
Yeah.
That's where the focus is. And we'll find out a bit more about that. But in general, employment just doesn't happen, does it? Especially if you have access or you don't have access to transport or finances and simply turning up in clothes that are clean.
Absolutely.
For job interviews, all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely. There's a whole range of things that are involved in the Chuck a Lane program, specifically around building those life skills and employability skills that really haven't been there for them beforehand, having dropped out of school quite early in the sort of piece and also not having any employment experience before sort of coming across something that can help them get a bit more employment and training.
Okay, well, let's find out exactly what it is. What is Charcoal Lane?
Okay, Charcoal Lane is a social enterprise. It's an initiative of Mission Australia that's run in partnership with the Victorian Aboriginal Health Service. So it's a restaurant, pretty much, that provides training and employment for young Aboriginal and disadvantaged youth. We offer two specific programs that are sort of one short, one long, one a taste tester and one the real thing in apprenticeships and traineeships in commercial cookery or front of house hospitality operations. The shorter program is that opportunity for those that have never actually been employed or have had very little engagement within education system, and they have the opportunity to sort of get involved in a certificate too, where they're trained by William Angliss Institute of TAFE, and they work through a 20-week program that's not only working on their employability skills but also helping them address some of the barriers that are there to their employment and further training and education.
So William Angliss, am I getting the picture that they do 20 weeks and then come and work with you, or during the 20 weeks or longer, there's kind of they go to school and then they come to work for a couple of days? How does it kind of work?
I suppose it's kind of tricky. I mean, you have to deal with both programs quite separately. I'll start with there is a Certificate 3 in commercial cookery, which is a chefing apprenticeship, which runs from 12 to 18 months, depending upon the individual. That the training component of that is delivered by William Angliss. The support component of that is delivered through the community, the Victorian Aboriginal Health Service and Mission Australia program staff and youth support workers. And then the employment or the employability skills and the training on the job training is delivered by the Charcoal Lane supervising staff and head chefs and so on and so forth. So that is actually a year-long project where afterwards they actually transition into mainstream employment and are offered ongoing support from the youth support team so that they're actually able to quite smoothly transition into a mainstream employment or even further education if that's where they see themselves going. The second program is actually the shorter one that I explained before. It is only 20 weeks, and throughout that 20 weeks, individuals are involved in 2 days of education with William Angliss, and they do their certificate too, which includes their responsible service of alcohol, a barista course, responsible service of food and food handler's certificate, and then they also have accredited training in certificate 2 hospitality. It's a multi-skilling course, so they actually do the front of house and back of house to get an idea of how everything works. They also do 2 days of work experience within the restaurant, so it's a course that sort of goes training, education and support all at the same time in the one place.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it, Lisa?
Yeah, it sounds like a great program. And what do the kids think about it? Are they excited to be given the opportunity to do that?
Or? Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We've got a really great... We have two programs running at the moment. We've got a really great bunch of guys in there that just are so passionate about the hospitality industry and so eager to sort of find their way and find their feet in that industry and be able to develop their skills specifically in the areas that they're working. And they also find that, I mean, obviously the added support in their workplace is just such a benefit to them, so that they're able to address some of those issues that, you know, not most people wouldn't necessarily recognise them as a huge boundary to gaining employment. But if you're unable to get up in the morning and you know that that's one of your barriers, then it's really great to have the support to address that and to be able to overcome it and work with not only your employer but also support staff and training staff to sort of overcome things like that.
It's fascinating. Mm. What about what you do exactly? How do you coordinate this kind of a program?
With lots of help.
It sounds like it's a huge. Yeah. It sounds like it's more than one person. It sounds like a huge team.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually, Charcoal Lane is actually run through sort of a team management approach. There's obviously different facets of the restaurant or of the enterprise. We have the kitchen that's actually run by the head chef, and his name is Damien Stiles. We also have the front of house operations and the administrative and financial operations that is run by our restaurant manager, who is Lucy Chambers, and then the program side of things, where all of the support and the training and the employment is pulled together, is run by myself as the program coordinator. And then on top of that, you know, we're just the sort of the leading team. There's so many people that are involved in the supervision, in the training, in the support for each individual. And it's a really individual program where people are actually able to address barriers that they individually have, progress at their individual speed and be able to concentrate on the areas that they want to tackle, rather than move as a group and not necessarily be able to develop in the way that they wish or in the skills that they, the skill set that they're really keen to develop on.
It's really individualising it, isn't it? That, you know, I guess in mainstream employment, some employers would say, look, no, you turned up at 10 past nine, 3 days in a row, I'm sorry, you know, we're not having you. Whereas the true story might be they've had to walk.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, a couple of kilometres, or what's the story behind it? So individualising that is fantastic. But why a restaurant initiative? I mean, that's quite complex, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we found that out as we've sort of gone along. But originally the idea came, one of the reasons that we're really keen to look at the restaurant side of things was because there's such a skill shortage in the industry. And so in particular for chefs and for the front of house operations, we thought that obviously there's a lot better job prospects for these young people if they're in an area that's got a skills shortage. So that was the original idea. However, it's just developed so much and it's become such a community program where the restaurant just embraces the support that we require from the local Aboriginal community and also the support that we're sort of giving back through food and the passion that we sort of give back to the community about how eager each young person is to lead and to be a part of their community. And they do that through sort of developing the food and getting out and doing stalls at Karoo night markets and being really social through the hospitality industry. So it's actually come as a skill shortage and really developed and bloomed into a real community project.
Mm. Now, I'm just going back to the kids. What happens to the kids that may drop out, or what sort of support are they given, or, you know, sort of they encouraged not to drop out, or, you know, what happens to those kids that really do find it difficult to turn up every day?
Yeah, obviously, I mean, this is the thing about hospitality. It's not for everyone.
Mm.
And everyone's got their own sort of stuff happening, which can mean or can lead to people not being able to see the project through to the end. So what we actually provide every participant that comes into the program is 3 months of post-placement support, and that doesn't necessarily mean that it's only offered to those who complete the training or complete the 12 months in work experience. It's actually offered to every participant. So if one was to leave for a particular reason, we would still offer that support. So we have people involved in the program at the moment that aren't actually training or employed at the restaurant. Mm. However, they're really heavily involved in the program because they access support through the youth support team, and they're linked in to other community services and support services through the restaurant. And that's, I mean, it almost becomes home for people. And whether you're a part of it or you feel that you're working as a part of it or not, people still come in and are so keen to sort of, you know, give us updates on what's happening and where they're at and what successes they've had lately. And so we maintain yeah, a lot of support for each individual when they actually leave the project. But unfortunately, hospitality just isn't going to be for everyone. Mm. And that's one of the reasons we do the taste tester. 20 weeks is a good indication of whether or not you're going to fit into the hours, or it is actually something you're passionate about, or whether you're actually ready for it in where you're at life at the moment. So it gives people good opportunity to actually go, right, I'm ready for a full year or a full apprenticeship, or actually I'm not quite there yet.
I guess that takes a lot of support and guidance along the way. When you talk, there's lots of support. What kind of support is it? I mean, the social workers, or I mean, the chef, he doesn't yell at them, does he? Because every chef on TV, don't they, Lisa? They yell at them. They're nasty bastards.
Yeah.
Is it true?
Oh,
say no.
Because he's listening. Better say no, Damien, and kill me.
Damien, don't yell at them.
No, he is absolutely fabulous with the guys. I suppose one of the important things about sort of going down or developing a project like this is making sure that it's representative of mainstream employment, because there's not much point in bringing somebody in and mollycoddling them and making them feel as if they're half an hour late for every shift. It's fine in any situation. So that's, I mean, we're quite realistic about the expectations of an employer and what they have to sort of fulfil to be employed. So it's, yeah, we're quite careful with that. But also at the same time, there isn't a person in Charcoal Lane that isn't passionate about or really really involved personally with each individual and really eager to be able to help them develop the skills required to become full-time employed in mainstream employment.
I'm just fascinated by it. I guess a lot of people would align it to the restaurant 15, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
In a nice way, though.
Yeah, there's definitely been some similarities drawn. And while we were sort of putting Charcoal Lane together and making decisions about how we would develop the program and how we would develop the apprenticeships and the traineeships, we had discussions with 15 and spoke about what sort of support they had put in place and you know, had that sort of support from them. We're really quite similar, but one of our integral differences is that we work in partnership with the Aboriginal community, and if we didn't have that partnership and that relationship and respect for the community and back from the community, it would be a useless project, because the young people involved in Charcoal Lane need the support from the community, and that's the most important thing that we as a social enterprise have recognised and really embrace.
That's not just that helping hand, it's actually believing in them that they can do it themselves, that you're just the conduit to it all. You're not just the hand that say, I'll do it my way. It's just literally that conduit. We're talking to Stephanie Simpson, and I'm really interested to hear more about Charcoal Lane just after this.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Good evening. You're listening to Hear Me Roar with Sue and Lisa this evening. And that song was Choose by Mia Dyson. We love a good Mia.
I loved Mia. She came out. I heard she's living in the States now. I miss Mia already.
Mm.
But she's got the most, she's this little frail, slight little thing.
But she rocks out.
She belts out these, you know, you sort of think, oh, she's going to do one of those folky artistic, oh, I'm in pain, I'm a girl, you know, kind of thing. And she just belts out these amazing songs. Anyway, we'll just chat
just
about that.
Sorry about that,
Stephanie. Yeah. We're talking to Stephanie. Oh, gosh, Stephanie Simpson from Charcoal Lane. She's the program coordinator there. It's an initiative for Aboriginal and disadvantaged youth to participate in a certificate hospitality 2 or 3 and working in the industry to basically get a chance at a job. Is that right?
That's it.
In a nutshell, now we've had a text in, a rather long one. My third-hand experience of the catering industry that it's worse. That's capital, so I'm swearing now. Worse than the army. Abusive hours, conditions, as well as people. I hope Charcoal Lane are preparing the young people for that. My partner is a chef, and I've been disgusted by the treatment that he and his colleagues have to put up with. Thanks, James. Stephanie? That's not Charcoal Lane,
mean,
is
it? No, well, I hope nobody has to put up with any treatment like that in Charcoal Lane. I'm sure they don't.
I think the hospitality industry is. I think James is right. It is arduous, and I think the conditions, the hours can be abusive.
Yeah.
And the working conditions. And I know you're sweating and you're in the kitchen and, you know, cut that, that's not straight, you know.
You didn't Julianne.
You didn't Julianne.
whatever.
You didn't Julianne.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
no, absolutely. It's a really tough industry to work in, and people have to be quite certain about whether they want to get involved. And I suppose that's a real benefit of having that taste tester or the certificate too, as a pre-apprenticeship sort of stage for young people at Charcoal Lane, so that they're able to get a good idea about what the hours are about, what the expectations are, and then obviously move on from there if they are really passionate about getting involved. But I certainly think that if you're a chef, you want to be there. It's not about being there for fun or for the hours or for what's going on here.
But it's not an abusive environment. I mean, there are industries that do take advantage of disadvantaged kids.
Yeah.
You know. And,
oh, absolutely.
Well, I guess not so much in Australia, but in other countries, I mean, we have kids sold into the fishing industry. We have all these horrible things happening. Mm. I mean, Charcoal Lane is actually a support program, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, I mean, the amount of support that the guys are given is just incredible. And I mean, like I said before, we don't want to be in that situation where they are mollycoddled and they're not able to transition into sort of mainstream employment. But certainly they're provided with the support and realistic expectations of what hospitality is all about. And also it's not necessarily always going to be about training the best chefs. It's giving them an opportunity to make a decision for themselves, giving them the employability skills to be confident to move on into different employment, to make decisions about their careers and be able to progress in whatever area it may be that they're interested in. And that's not necessarily going to be hospitality.
Yeah, well, for some of them it wouldn't be. I mean, it, like you said earlier, it is not for everyone. I think a waiter's job is a really tough job, and being in a kitchen,
I couldn't do it.
Have you ever done it, Lisa?
I've waited, and I've been a bar person, and I swear to God, oh, I was so sick of it. And people abusing you and saying, oh, I didn't order that or whatever. I couldn't do it. I don't like customer service at all.
It's funny, though, because some people, or most people that work in the hospitality industry, love it.
Yeah.
Like, just live for it. And the people that I work with at Charcoal Lane just sort of look at me weirdly and say, why on earth do you do what you do? Sitting in front of that computer and you know, putting all these programs together seems so boring to them.
Mm.
And I couldn't possibly comprehend getting out the front and having to speak to everyone every day. It'd scare the hell out of me. So there's some people that just love it.
Well, I don't like being yelled at. I remember being yelled at because the toast was burnt. You know, it's toast. Don't yell at me.
No.
It's just bread.
Exactly.
I'll get some more. You know, please don't yell at me. I'm a nice person. And then I went away and cried.
Oh.
You know, but it was like, you know, the day after day of being yelled at for silly things. My coffee's hot. My coffee's too cold. My coffee's too sweet. I don't know. I'm sorry.
That's when you become bitter and twisted and you do stuff to food. Or no, not that we would say that you would do that at Charcoal Lane.
We wouldn't do that.
Don't give them ideas.
No.
Let's talk about some of the success stories, some of the positive things that are happening there. Now, let's go over. Charcoal Lane is a restaurant. It's in Fitzroy.
Yep.
And it's not just your average toasted sandwich cafe. I have looked at the food. I've been dying to get there and I just haven't. But it's really amazing looking food, isn't it? It's not just, you know, your
absolutely
focaccia and salad on the side.
Well, it's most certainly not your average cafe. It is actually a fine dining restaurant, and the guys that are training are really learning the best of the best so that they're able to have, you know, the pick of what sort of options they have next. But the restaurant itself is, I mean, I've sort of eaten there as much as I've been given the opportunity, but the restaurant is just fabulous. It's got this really great relaxed ambience and a whole lot of sort of community sort of feel to it, which is really great as well. But then the food's just divine, and the guys in the kitchen, they amaze me.
Oh, anybody working in a kitchen all the time amazes me.
Yeah.
So let's get to the success stories. Can you share some of the really good things with us?
Yeah. Okay.
Go on. Share one.
Obviously, heaps of successes at the moment. I mean, it depends upon what you consider a success. We had our first apprentice nominated for a Australian Apprenticeship Award. That was a couple of months ago, which is really fantastic as one of the best hospitality apprentices in the state. So we were really excited about that. We also, I mean, the successes are a daily success. We've got one of our apprentice chefs is just about to specialise in pastry and has made his sort of move and starting to develop his career, which is really fantastic to see because he's so passionate about that particular area and he's been able to get involved and really specialise in an area and then make that decision and move on. We're about to start work experience in different restaurants all across Melbourne with some of these apprentices, so that they're actually given the opportunity to go and get in another kitchen and get comfortable in there and work with some of the masters to develop their skills and come back to Charcoal Lane and say, look, you know, this is what I'm not up to at the moment, and can we develop that so that I can be at that stage at the end of the year. So we've got a whole lot of great stuff doing. We're always out in the community. Most recently, we've been getting out to Koori Night Market stores, which are a really fabulous event. Lots of art, culture, music, and really great food. So a part of the apprentice and traineeship program now is actually organising those stalls and getting out there and being able to sell all that food and communicate with the community and let them know about what they're doing and where they're up to in the program as well. So there's a whole heap of great stuff happening at the moment.
What about for girls? We're a girls show. We like to know what's happening for the girls. Are there many girls in the program?
There are. There are, actually. In our commercial cookery program, we only have two girls. And in our front of house program, We actually only had two as well. So it is a lesser number out of 13 that originally came in the apprenticeship and traineeship program. I'm not entirely sure why. I think it is the back of house may be sort of considered a male-dominated industry, but the girls, they just kill it in the kitchen.
Do they?
Absolutely. They run the show. Yeah.
Go girls.
Yeah, the two girls, Barbara and Katrina, are just amazing.
Oh, big shout really out to you. Really amazing. Oh, yep. That's fantastic. I like to hear success stories of the girls, because we are a minority in a lot of industries, and even a lot of these support structures that are put in place by the community and people like you, there's still only a catchment. There's only a few of the girls kind of get caught in that.
Yeah. Well, it certainly seems there's a lot of interest from the community, especially female sort of members of the community. There's a real interest in what we're doing and a real interest to get involved, and that's only been progressing with the good sort of word that's going around at the moment, and from people such as Katrina and Barb's that are just loving it and actually working really hard and progressing so quickly and learning so many fabulous skills, that sort of word goes out and people are becoming a lot more interested and a lot more motivated to get involved.
So who is eligible?
Okay, eligibility criteria is kind of long, but obviously it's a youth project, so we accept people from the age of 16 to 30. We also won't accept anyone that's already in full-time education or employment, obviously. Mm-hmm. They have to have a sincere interest in the hospitality industry. Like we said before, it's not really going to work if you're not interested in that industry. There's always got to be a reason for you getting involved in a support program that includes the training and the support and the employment together. So if you're sort of just taking it because it's the easy option and not really needing that extra support, then it's not likely that you'll get involved in the program.
You've got to be really willing to put in the effort. So where is the restaurant? Because we have to wind it up very, very quickly. Where is the restaurant and how can people get in contact with you?
Okay, so the restaurant is in Gertrude Street in Fitzroy, and it is a giant old Victorian building. It's just beautiful, and it's the old Victorian Health Service. It's Aboriginal Health Service. So, you'll see it there in Gertrude Street. And to contact me or to make any bookings, we do actually have a website. It's Charcoal Lane, www.charcoallane.com. And, you can make bookings and inquiries through that.
You can check out the gorgeous pictures and the food. I got hungry looking at the website. It's all your fault.
I'm hungry.
We have to go. Stephanie, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been great.
Will you keep us up to date?
Absolutely.
I think we might pop over for dinner, Lisa.
We might.
I think you should.
I think we will. We're going to see. What's the top chef's name?
Damien Styles.
We're going to go and see Damien's yelling at them.
And you can't forget his master Sue, Paul Mounsey. He's fabulous as well.
Okay. Well, we're just going to keep an eye on them and make sure they're not yelling at anybody.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Hear Me Roar on Joy 94.9. It's been fantastic having your company. We look forward to having your company again next week. Bye, Lisa.
Goodbye, everyone.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.